Good morning. It is good to see all of you here today. Announcements. We are going to have a Good Friday service, 6:30 on the date of Good Friday. And all of these things will come out in emails and in bulletins. We're also planning for a time of communion the first Sunday of April. And we are hoping for an Easter breakfast. Did you have time to chat about that? Is that a go? We're going to do an Easter breakfast. Next Sunday will be our leadership meeting. Okay. I think that's from my memory. And then my coins count. Today is the last day. Did you bring your bucket of coins, Matt?
Today is not the last
day. We'll wait for you. We'll wait for your coins. I don't know. We don't collect. We have a bucket out there for a year, but this is MCC's collection. You did give me a bucket last year. And we're expecting a bucket this year. Not that this is the Matthew Beth service. You're okay. You're okay. And okay.
Maybe next year I lost my can.
We can get you. Somebody has to get him a new can.
You can put it in any container.
There you go. And then Friday, April 22nd to the 24th is a SAW, S-A-W weekend, Servants at Work mission. They need people to help building house frames in the parking lot of Bethel Hill Church. Help build hope. It's an amazing organization that works along with Saul to provide training, tools, and transportation of a basic framed house, and they will be delivered to Kentucky. That's in light of the tornado that went through last year.
Is there a sign up for something?
Janine, is there like a sign up for that, or how do we get in touch with them?
I didn't see a sign up. I think you're just supposed to. There's a bulletin hanging up in the hallway there.
Okay.
I don't see if there's anything about, a number to register. I don't recall seeing that, but it might be on the bulletin.
Okay. Thanks, Janine. I'm glad you're on Zoom. Is there anyone else on Zoom this morning?
Just Marion.
Marion, thanks for being there. Okay. Any other announcements that I may have missed? Let's pray. Father God, your law and your way is the way to peace, joy, and love. We thank you for your spirit that is here among us. We pray that you will allow us to hear your message through the words shared this morning. In your name, amen. Learning tools here today. God always loves his people. He always has. And when we are broken, like this vase was, he builds us back. He builds us with his love and his guidance. He has promised to be with us always. He always reveals a loving plan quickly to us. It's up to us to open our ears and open our hearts and hear and know what God is saying to us. When the human race fell to sin, he didn't push us to the side. He gave us a loving plan to move forward. And then, as he gives us loving plans, He provides boundaries for our protection. This is my bike hat. He provides boundaries for our protection. There are people who create things willed by God to save us, to protect us, and to keep us safe. Amen? He always provides a loving plan. God had forgiven Adam and Eve after they had destroyed part of his perfect creation. They decided to listen to the suggestions of a serpent. He had promised that someone, and we know it would be his son, would be there to strike back against sin and evil. Things would one day be the way they were to be as God had planned. Again and again throughout the Old Testament, God intervenes, bringing his people back to him. As far away as they run, as deep as they dig their holes, as mean as they can be, God has a plan for everyone to come back to him. I will be sharing Psalm 32 this morning. It's actually, I've heard it referred to as a spiritual gem. It is also labeled a maskil, which in Hebrew means a giving of instruction to understand. And Pastor Matthew Henry wrote about Psalm 32, "There is nothing in which we have more need of instruction than in the nature of true blessedness, wherein it consists and the way that leads to it, what we must do that we may be happy." I find comfort in knowing that the people of Ukraine and the people who are marginalized have the Bible and have the tools necessary to keep turning back to God. And I just continue to pray that their support systems and that their pastors and that the parents are strong enough to keep turning back to God. I'm reading Psalm 32. I'll start with 1 through 6. A maskil, which means given instructions. "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgive the guilt of my sin.' Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty water will not reach them." Believers know that their sins will be forgiven. Believers are covered in the love of Christ. We are pardoned when we repent and the burden is eased. We are to live a life as happy and blessed followers. Our holy God is a just God and a wonderful Savior. God will pardon our sins so that the heaviness of guilt will be lifted. David, in his time, hid his sins. He tried to not think of his sins. He tried to divert his thoughts elsewhere. But it was eating away at him. He was beginning to feel bad. He became more quiet and he even looked unhealthy. If you can recall, David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then one sin led to a next. He arranged that her husband would go to war and he was hoping he would die in battle. And then one sin begets the next. And then one sin begets the next. Our sins are never hidden from God as much as we try to cover them up. And our sins will hinder our fellowship with others if we do not repent. Sin needs to be acknowledged and confessed. We are cleansed by God. Think of that bike hat, the helmet. God protects us from trouble. And our fellowship grows in him when we confess to him. When we confess, we will find our faithful Father to be gracious and just and kind and forgiving. Two times the word Selah is written in the margin of your Bible during Psalm, might be three, two times of verses 1 through 6. Selah, S-E-L-A-H. And that means stop, look, and listen. Stop, look, listen. Are you wondering and not understanding God's words? Are you looking for divine grace that will lead to safety and joy and love? If you would take out the purple paper at the very bottom, I have a moment of confession just for us to pause, to listen, to stop. I will start with the leader, and then I'd like you to read with me the all part as we read a moment of confession. God, call to us. Where are you? We, like Adam, hide in the garden, hoping God does not come looking for us. God asks, what have you done? We, like Eve, say, the devil made me do it, masking our shame. Our choices have consequences, and yet God's grace abounds. I confess I have hidden and denied my sin. When I refused to admit my wrongs, I was miserable. Even my bones felt brittle. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. 1 John 5:18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. If you are the one that turns to God and asks for forgiveness for your sins, you will better be able to forgive others. When you are better able to forgive others, people enjoy being with you. They know you're not going to gossip or condemn or hold things against them in this crazy world of ours. They know that you have God in your life and that you will forgive. You will forgive them. Psalm 32, verses 7 through 11. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I'm going to pause. You are surrounded by his love. We are surrounded by his protection. Praise God. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Whoever you are, wherever you go, lift your heart to God. I've heard stories about that Russian 40-mile tanks and trucks that are coming into Ukraine. I've heard stories, I don't know if they're true or not, of soldiers actually slashing their tires. They know, well, they don't have food and they know it's in the wrong, and they are trying to stand up to do what's right. Lord, let us keep them in our hearts that they continue to do what is right. If they have faith, we pray that they have faith. Allow them to look to God and allow the people of Ukraine to keep looking to God. Lift your heart to God. When you feel the comfort of forgiveness, pray for continued grace and strength to not return to your old ways. Isn't it easy to slip back? That girlfriend that hurt you years ago. Isn't it easy to go back to say, well, I'm not going to be her friend. She hurt me years ago. Right? Or if somebody keeps borrowing your money, it's easy to feel frustrated because they keep asking to borrow money. It's easy to go that way. God provides a way to keep his people safe from sin if we continue to turn to him. When you feel that temptation rising of that negative thought, turn to him and run to him. We have been given the ability to understand reason so that we need not compare ourselves to that mule that's out there in the barn. Right? No, not the John Deere. We are able to stop and look and listen and learn. We have the ability to act rationally and to honor God with grace. We don't need to be guided, and we should not be guided by others, only by the Holy Spirit. We do not need to be pulled and led and shown where to God. If you are turning to God, you will know what the next step will be. We know sin will lead to sorrow if it is not repented. Be changed by a life with communion with God. Be changed by the holy joy it brings. In Psalm 32, verse 11, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad. Rejoice in knowing that God wants each of us to be restored. When we are restored, we are able to guide and help others. Pray that the Lord will allow you to know what area of your life needs to be renewed or refurbished. Does something frustrate you frequently? Do you cry out once I get up and put my foot on the floor, the day is just going to go? Or do you rejoice that you're putting your foot on the floor to find out what God has in store for you? Is it an attitude? Is it an action? Is it a conversation that you need to have? Rejoice in knowing that God wants to restore you each day. Pray that the Lord will allow you to know what area of your life needs to be renewed. Matthew 4, 1 through 11 reveals a time when Jesus felt that he was in a difficult situation. It was the beginning of his ministry as he grew closer to God and began healing and teaching. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" I'm going to pause. Because he had studied the word, it was in his heart, it was in his mind, and he was easily able to share God's word. And that's a gift to all of us, to have his word in our hearts and in our minds and right on the tip of our tongue when we feel challenged. And that's what Jesus did. And then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" And then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is from one of my study Bibles. Temptation, testing, and real life. Taking advantage of Jesus' hunger, the devil tries to entice his opponent to grasp after domestic security for his own sake. Amass more than his share of food, turn stone into multiple loaves of bread. Demonstrate his close association with the powerful. Prove that God's angels will keep him from injury. And secure the glory of political leadership. Rule the kingdoms of the world. The temptation is not that food, power, and leadership are inherently wrong, but rather that they can be used for the wrong ends or at the wrong time. Our words and our actions need to be for the positive, for the glorification of Jesus. When that doesn't happen, we need to be forgiven. It is no accident that Jesus was in the wilderness right after his baptism. When he was tempted by the difficult situation, he looked to God. He knew God's words. Through the temptations, Jesus was made stronger and better prepared for his ministry. We will have times when our joy is being stolen from us. We will be tempted physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Satan continues to push us to a place where we just don't want to read or even believe in the scriptures. But we need Jesus. We need his forgiveness, his guidance, his love. In this season of Lent, praise him for his grace that he has bestowed upon us. Be more deliberate in your time spent with him. During our last song, and I didn't get to talk to Eloise about this morning, but during our last song, I'm going to have you come up and look at the stones up front. And I'll go get one. And as you come up, you're going to pick up a stone. And you're going to think about the vulnerable times in your life. I would like you to think about the times that you may have lost sight of God. The times that you may have lost sight of what God would like you to do. Or perhaps the temptations and the vulnerabilities that you have in your own life. I'm going to invite you to pick up a stone and then to place it into the bowl that is next to it. And it is going to be an act of repentance, where you truly ask for forgiveness, and a time of recommitment, recognizing your vow for loving God and living out God's way. So during our last song, I'm going to ask each of us to come up and to pick up the stone. Think of repentance, recommitment. Think of where your life is vulnerable. Take that time. Take that moment where you will come up, pick up the stone, and then just place it. God is shaping us and molding us. Are you getting to know God? Are you spending time in his word? Have you asked God how he can use your life for good? Are you being led by the Spirit as Jesus did, allowing the Spirit to lead his actions and his words, not relying on his own emotions? The truth is in his word. Through temptations, we will grow stronger. Through his words, we are able to remain strong. Through our vulnerabilities, there is strength to be gained if we recognize them and take them to the Lord. Allow each of us to remain strong to the calling that we have in our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, remind us, each of us, just exactly how dearly loved we are. May Christ be by our sides in the time of struggle. May the Spirit guide us back to the path of righteousness when we are tempted and led astray. Father, allow us to learn from our vulnerabilities as we stop and look and listen to Jesus as he guides us. You love us so much. You wish for us to be safe and to be happy. May God always be our refuge in the times of trouble. May God be with those who are living in the margins of our world. May God be with those who are under attack. Be with those people, Lord. Let them feel your Spirit. Allow them to feel your love. In your name, amen.